see the travels that this army that comes against Jerusalem is going to take. We're going to start with chapter 10 and verse 22, though, to pick it up. This is quite an interesting portion. We're going to see the finish of the might of the world power, and then we're going to see the beginning of the reign of Jesus Christ. And we're just going to get into that just a little ways tonight, Lord willing. Oh, thank the Lord for this word. You know, yesterday we had Glenn's youngest daughter and her husband, two little girls, and we thought about eating out, but I said, no, we're going to eat at home. And I fixed we had a good meal. And they were there to eat it. And, you know, I thought about this preparing a meal. That's what we did today. We prepared a meal, didn't we, for us to eat. And we're disappointed when saints don't come and eat of this food. It's a disappointment. Because every one of us need this food, don't we? We need the word. And, as cooks, you know, we all would be disappointed if you fix a good meal and nobody come to eat it. Well, this is true in the spiritual, too. And this is the most wonderful meal that any of us could partake of, this right here. All right, so we're sitting around a table tonight. We're going to eat. Verse 22, we had looked into this briefly last week. The Lord says, for though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant, or only a remnant of them, shall return. And we looked into this briefly. They shall turn. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. This consumption decreed is the time of Jacob's trouble that we read of in Daniel 9:27. This is determined. I don't know how many of you were here when we went into Daniel just lately, but been, what, 2 or 3 years ago that we did, maybe longer than that. Daniel 9:27. This Daniel 9:27 is epitome of the 7 years tribulation, and this is what he's talking about here. This consumption is the destruction, the world powers, and that we read of in Daniel 9:27. And he, that is the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The many here is the mass of Israel. He's going to make this covenant for 1 week with the mass of the nation of Israel. And this is what we've been looking for, is this peace treaty that they're pressing, and this country here is pressing them to make this peace treaty. But then in the midst of the week here is the 7 years, in the middle of the 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Or the margin says, upon the wing of abominations shall come one that maketh desolate. That's the Antichrist. And even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolator. This will be the Antichrist. It's going to be the cutting off by God of all of that world system, that whose head will be the Antichrist. And there's so many times that we see this little sign, prayer changes things. But there's one thing that prayer never changes, and that's the determinate counsel of God and his purposes. That never changes. So this is determined. This is firmly established by God, that this consumption decreed that we read of in verse 22 of Isaiah shall overflow with righteousness. Let's go over to Romans 9:28, and we read this same truth over here. That word consumption, you notice, is in verse 22 and verse 23, and it just means destruction. In Romans 9 and verse 28, let's read the 27th. Esaias or Isaiah, also Esaias is the Greek, also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short. And this is the thought here in Isaiah, that he's going to cut this short. That's the meaning of some of the Hebrew words there. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. It's not just going to be in the land of Israel, but it's going to be over all the earth. He's going to make this short work. And we read in another place that the 7 years is going to be shortened by, I think it's 75 days, if I remember right. Well, yeah, on the chart over there, 250 days. Or everybody would be consumed. The judgment of God, it will be so terrible. But he's going to cut this short, and we're going to see tonight, as this army comes down, how God is going to do that. He's going to finish the work of destruction in his purposes and in his righteous decree. And it will have a definite end, as this rod that we're going to read about now in the 24th and 25th verse is going to be used by God. So let's read these. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion. Don't be afraid. I like to put it that way. Don't be afraid of the Assyrian. This is the Antichrist. He shall smite thee with a rod. Now we're looking into the future. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. Remember, after the manner of Egypt, when Israel was delivered from the land of Egypt and from Pharaoh, and then he came and he oppressed them, and they were so afraid about crossing the Red Sea. They didn't know if they were in a bind. They didn't know if they would be delivered. And it was a marvelous thing how God delivered them. Well, this is how he's going to do again for this nation, Israel. And then in the 25th verse, for yet a very little while, I like that, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. See, this won't last. It's going to come to an end. I have a scripture, let's read this one, over in Hebrews 10:37. This is quoted by Paul, and it's for a reason when he always quotes a scripture. Paul, of course, as we know, knew the Old Testament. Maybe he could quote books, I don't know. When we were in Bible school, some of them learned the whole book of Romans and could quote it. I could never do that. But in 10:37, let's read, of Hebrews, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. As you'll notice, and that's also written in Haggai 2:6, if you have your marginal references. So this is quoted three times throughout the word that we know of right here. So for just a very little while, and then the indignation shall cease, and mine anger, not only the indignation, but his anger is going to cease. For the Lord of hosts, this is Jehovah to Sabaoth, shall stir up a scourge or a whip for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, remember Moses, his rod, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. He's going to judge this army that's going to come down, as we're going to read here just a little bit. He's going to judge them in the same manner as he did the Egyptians when they came down and were trying to destroy the nation Israel. You could read about this rock Oreb. We're not going to turn to that, but that's in Judges. Usually we have that in the margin, but it's Judges 7:25. And then in verse 27, and it shall come to pass in that day. And as we said last week, whenever we have this term, in that day, it speaks of the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord lasts 1,000 years. It's not just one day. It begins when Christ takes his throne, and it ends at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. So it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from away from off thy shoulders. This will be the Antichrist. and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. In other words, because Israel is the anointed of God, the nation. Let's read chapter 14 of Isaiah and verse 25. Teaching is so much different from preaching, and I like to teach. That's a joy to me. Praise the Lord. 14:25. Well, let's start up above, because this is the same Jehovah to Sabaoth. In verse 24, hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulder. I want to read that 26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, because the whole earth is going to be under his control. This is the hand that's stretched out upon all nations. See, he's the one that's going to have control the whole world. So that's a good commentary upon that 27th verse. All right, the next verses in this chapter, from 28 to 34, we're going to see the march, the route that the Antichrist is going to take. This has never been fulfilled in history. They've never gone to, when the Sennacherib's army came down, they didn't come to these different places. So these verses are tell of the future. And they tell us of the final overthrow of the Assyrian or the Antichrist, and the, of course, all of the armies that will be the enemy of Israel. And we're going to see that they'll never rise again. This is what we have a word picture of here. And this is a 15-mile journey. It's all it is. And they think it's going to be a victorious march, the Antichrist and his hordes, when they march to Jerusalem. But then suddenly, they're going to meet destruction. They're going to get so far, and then God is going to destroy them. And we put the map out again tonight, because we're going to begin in the 28th verse. He said, he is come to Aaf. Now this Aaf is Ai. And I had it up here a little bit ago. Here we go. Ai is right here. And as you can tell, this is mountainous. So it's going to take them a while to get there because of the mountains and so forth. I want to read this out of the Hebrew, if you want to follow in the King James. I'll just read these verses, 28 through 34. And one commentator said, as to beauty, this description is one of the most magnificent that human poetry has ever produced, in the Hebrew. This is going to be quite a fantastic thing for God and for these armies to perform. All right, in the Hebrew it reads, he comes from Aaf, passes through Migron. In Michmash he leaves his baggage. They go through the pass, let Jeba be our quarters for the night. Ramah trembles, Gibeah of Saul flees. They hear him coming, his army coming. Scream aloud, O daughter of Galeam. Only listen, O Laish, it's Laisha in the Hebrew. And then he says, poor Anathoth. Madmena hurries away. These are all little villages, cities. The inhabitants of Jebin rescue. He still halts in Nob today. Then he swings his hand over the mountain of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. This is when God, he does some things that God is going to judge him for. He thinks he's going to conquer all this, and he does it in terrible attitude. But then he says, behold, the Lord, Jehovah of hosts, lops down the branches with terrific force. Now this army that's coming, this is what the Lord is going to do. And those of towering growth are hewn down, speaking of men, and the lofty are humbled. And he fells the thickets of the forest with iron, And Lebanon, it falls by a majestic one. Isn't that beautiful? It just describes it so magnificent, I think, this army that comes down. All right, as we said, AAF is AI, and if you read the history of AI, I didn't go into all of this because we didn't feel it necessary, just the route that they're going to take. AI is here, and on my little map, I had Migron was even on my little map, and then we have Michmash. It's right, it's on the eastern side of the valley of Migron, and it's very close to Bethel. Can you see Bethel? Is it on there? There's Bethel. It's up there, but on my map it's down further. All of these seem to vary. And in in Michmash, notice that he has laid up his carriages. In the margin, this is his baggage. This is where he leaves it for a while because he lightens the load, in other words, because he's going to be going over a pass. And this pass is a very deep ravine, this passage, in verse 29. They are gone over the pass, and they're going to, and all of us, I think, have been in the mountains, and we know what, and these mountains, of course, are different. They're very steep. Some of them have a great deep ravines. And then Geba is Gibeah of Saul. This is the birthplace of Saul. And then Ramah is a half hour west of Gibeah, and some of the maps might have it. I can't see it. I'm not going to take the time to look it on that. Your Bible maps may have it on there. But Ramah is right on the road right on down. It's a half hour west of Gibeah, according to one commentary. And they tremble as they see him go by, this Antichrist and all his army. They know where he's headed and what he's going to do. So they tremble. And then in the 30th verse, he says, "Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim." Galim here is the population, rather the daughter here is the population who were going to lift up their voice to those in Laish who were close by. These villages are close by, and they were going to lift up their voice and warn them about this great army that's going to be coming down. And then he says, cause it to be heard unto Laish. And then he says, oh, poor Anathoth, or answer her, Anathoth. And this Anathoth can still be seen about an hour to the north of Jerusalem. This is an appeal to the people of Anathoth to hasten and clear out, flee. That's the thought here. Anathoth was the home of Jeremiah. All of these we could go into. And then verse 31, Madmena means a dunghill. Some of these we had looked at the meanings, but this is what's going to happen to this army that comes down. Dunghill, and they flee. Notice this word removed is they flee, or Macmena hurries away. The inhabitants of Jeban rescue. Then Jeban means water pot. They carry off their possessions and they flee. And then this army comes down in verse 32. As yet shall he remain at Nob that day. They halt at Nob, and I couldn't find Nob on my map, but it's close by there. And here is where, notice, he shall shake his hand. Now remember, the Antichrist is going to be possessed by Satan, and he is going to display the anger that Satan has. And this is what we see today regarding this city of Jerusalem. Everybody wants this city of Jerusalem. And he's going to shake his hand. This is Satan's anger against God, against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. This is a very hostile army, and it's going to stand in front of Jerusalem like a broad, dense forest. That's what that in the 34th verse, the thickets of the forest. They're going to stand there just like they're ready to pounce upon Jerusalem. But this Antichrist and his hordes are going to stand there and defy the Lord. And this is when the Lord comes. In verse 33, he's not going to allow this because he's got a little remnant that he's going to take care of. This word behold is look and see. Look and see. Adonai, the one who works his purposes through his relationship with Israel. He shall lop the bough with terror. This bough here is the false prophet and the Antichrist and all the hordes. Satan, the Antichrist and the false prophet, the high ones of stature shall be hewn down and the haughty shall be humbled. It's going to be quite a day, isn't it? But only one person can do it, and that's Adonai, the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, is going to do this. Praise the Lord. So this is a description here of the Battle of Armageddon. That's what we have here. Let's go over to Ezekiel and read Ezekiel 39. Praise the Lord. We're hastening to that day very rapidly. Ezekiel 39, and I want to start with the 11th verse. This chapter is the judgment of Gog. There's so much in all of this. Gog speaks, represents Germany. Germany and Russia are going to be combined in this Northern Confederacy. In this chapter, we're given the countries that are going to be in the Southern Confederacy, those that are going to be in the Northern Confederacy. We're not going to go into all of that. The 38th chapter also talks about it. But we just want to read verse 11 and maybe the next one. And it shall come to pass in that day, there's that phrase again, that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude. And they shall call it the valley of Haman Gog, or the multitude of Gog. In the 12th verse, and 7 months shall the house of Israel be bearing of them, that they may cleanse the land. Now this is, I'm going to read on down here. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamongog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And if you recall in the book of Leviticus, to touch a dead body was defiling for the Israelites. This is going to be quite a day. But they've got to cleanse the land. And that's what they're going to do. It's going to be a terrible time. In the book of Ezekiel, it talks so much about this. And in one chapter, and I love that book when we taught it, but in one chapter he talks about the Lord putting a hook in the jaws of that Northern Army Confederacy to get them to come down. They don't really want to come, but God puts a hook in their jaws and just pulls them down there so that he can finish up all their plans. They've got plans today. You know, we were talking about this submarine, that incident that happened. There's a reason that they didn't want some of them, these other countries, to get into that submarine. You know, Russia's got secrets too. And they didn't want some of these other countries to know what was in that submarine. That was one of the best ones they ever had. So there's a reason for all of this. So we're just glad that the Lord gives us discernment. All right, any questions now on this 10th chapter? This is quite a big subject. Isaiah 26? What verse? Oh, yes, 26:20. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. That's a good, this is a good one. This is, I have written in here, this is for Frank. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place, the heavens, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. This is what they've done in some of these, this is the last 3.5 years, because it's called Jacob's Trouble. And I didn't look up just where that was. I think it's in Jeremiah, some that term, Jacob's Trouble. I didn't look that one up. But it's the last 3.5 years. That's when that the Antichrist is going to break the covenant, and he's going to set up his image in the holy place, and the world is going to worship him. Now, this is the great world power here that we have just seen destroyed. And all the world is building up to this today. It's coming to the one world. And we could go into a lot of little details on this, but we see so many little of these details being fulfilled right now in our lives too. Now, this 11th chapter, if we're ready for it, are we ready for it? This corresponds with 1 Kings. We didn't mention what the other one corresponded to. I have that at home. But as we said, in this 10th chapter, we've seen the world power under the Antichrist that resembled the cedar forest of Lebanon, majestic. Now we'll look at the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and he's seen as a stump of a felled tree, like a root without stem, branches, or crown. I'll just read the first, four verses, because we won't get any if we get that far. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stump. This rod is a twig. Out of the stump, the stem is a stump of Jesse. I'm just going to read it, then we'll go back over. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is Christ now. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. This is in couplets. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Thank the Lord. Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. All right, here we see the future now. This rod is going to come forth out of the stem or the stump of Jesse. Now, I want us to go back to 2 Kings and find out who the last king was that sat upon this Davidic throne. Let's go to 2 Kings 24. This was the time when Israel, the 10 northern tribes, were taken away captive. The 2 tribes, the 10 tribes, had already been carried away captive. In 2 Kings 24, this tells us of the last king, rightful king, who sat on the throne of David. And in the 8th verse, we'll begin there, 24:8 of 2 Kings. Jehoiakim was 18, this is him, was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. Now, I'll also give you, he had 2 other names. Jehoiakim was also called Jeconiah. I think there's 2 other names, maybe just 1 other. Yes, 1 other. Let's go to, I'll give them to you. In 1 Chronicles 3:16, let's just quickly turn over there. Jehoiakim, now there's a Jehoiakim, K-I-M, who was his father, but now this is Jehoiakim. Okay, let's turn to 3:16. And we'll see his other name here. Yes. Yes, he just had one other name. Okay, 3:16. And the sons of Jehoiakim was Jeconiah. And this is his other name. Jehoiakim, C-H-I-N, is also Jeconiah, his son, and Zedekiah, his son. Okay, Jehoiakim was the rightful heir. He was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. Now he reigned in Jerusalem, where in the two tribes. And at that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. Now this was when Jerusalem is destroyed, the final destruction at this time of the city of Jerusalem. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And you know who one of them was? Jeremiah. He was one of the poorest sort. He was left there. They wanted the ones who were able to be a benefit to them. Like Daniel and the Hebrews, although Daniel wasn't in this deportation, there were 3 deportations into Babylon. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. See what they wanted? They wanted the best. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, that is Jehoiakim's father's brother, king in his stead. This man was a usurper. And he changed his name to Zedekiah. Now this is the one that that has 2 other names. Let's go to, he has 2 other names. If I wrote that down somewhere, maybe some of you had this written down. As I was studying today, let's go to Jeremiah 24:1. Maybe that's where it is. This in 2 Kings is a very important chapter because it tells of the last deportation. 2 or Jeremiah 24:1. See if this is the one we want. No, this is also speaking about Jeconiah. Well, this man, let's go back in 2 Kings. His Mattaniah's name was changed to Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He was not the rightful heir like Jehoiakim. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. It's not the same one that wrote the book of Jeremiah. And through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now I want to go on down here and read this in the 25th chapter a bit. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came he and all his host against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. Now this would be dire straits, I'd say, wouldn't you? And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. We won't, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. How would you like to have that done? And put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. Quite an end for him, wasn't it? But it really isn't the end, because the next chapter tells a little more about it. But Jehoiakim was the last one that sat upon the throne of David.